morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Health Discourse with Sakshi and Sushant. So, hi, Sushant. Good morning.
Morning.
Happy Navratri.
You same to you.
Thank
Happy
you.
Navratri to everyone who are listening to our podcast today.
Yes, to all our listeners. And today, our talk is going to be a little different from what we have discussed so far. So, Sushant, these days we have seen that a lot of mental health issues like depression, anxiety, panic attacks, and then dementia, they are cropping up among people a lot, right? And we have read a lot of articles around that, gut health is responsible for this mental health issues, right? So can you shed some light on how the gut-brain axis actually works? Because we have heard that it is responsible, but there is very few people talk about how it actually works.
I think we have discussed this, but let me brief you. So, gut and brain are connected to each other through vagus nerve, right? So vagus nerve actually sends the gut microbiome-derived metabolites, right? And passes the information to the brain, right? And then again, that's how these metabolites could travel from gut to brain via vagus nerve and can do a lot of inflammatory stuff inside the brain, right? But the major important thing to understand is the HPA axis, which regulates our stress response, right? So when we are stressed, whether it is financial stress, whether it is work stress, whether it is relationship stress, right? It activates HPA axis, which is hypothalamus pituitary adrenal gland axis, right? Which leads to release of cortisol. And cortisol is released, or there's a fight and flight response, right? It gives a message to your gut that something, your body is getting relaxed, and right, your body closes on all the non-essential functions, including digestive tract, right? So that's why people who have stress have digestive issues. When this thing happens, right, there's a gut disbiosis of imbalance in the gut microbiome because of cortisol, which further could lead to, productions of the pro-inflammatory metabolites, which could trigger upregulation of certain cytokines, inflammatory cytokines, which could do inflammation in the brain and start further activates HPA axis, right? And again, what happens next is the vicious cycle, right? So stress causes activation of HPA axis, which causes gut dysbiosis. In turn, gut dysbiosis, if there's a gut dysbiosis due to wrong dietary choices, improper nutrition, right? It further can lead to activation of HPA axis, which further leads to cortisol, and this is how it's a vicious cycle, right? So, your anxiety, depression issues, your panic attacks, all these are, we all know it is linked to your gut microbiome, right? Not only so here we don't, the important thing is that it is not about the existence of a particular bacteria, right? It is about the biochemical activities or the functions they perform. That is what facilitates this gut-brain communication, and that is what disrupts your or interferes with the brain function or causes neuroinflammation, right? So this is something which is very important, right? Today I want to specifically focus on role of oral microbiome in brain health, which has not been too much emphasized upon till now, right? So I'm going to discuss about how certain microbes, what specific functionalities, functions or pathways which would lead to, sort of impact of oral microbiome on brain health, how oral health is connected with the brain health. And I'll also briefly touch upon Parkinson's, but we will discuss in detail when we have the International Parkinson's Day on 11th, right? Let us discuss about oral microbiome. So probably you could let me know if you have you want to start with something on the oral microbiome. You have some
Yes,
questions.
I think we should probably start with what is the connection between oral microbiome and mental health, right? You have just told us about the HPA axis of the brain, right? And how the gut is responsible. Now, how oral comes into picture in this case?
Okay, so it is important to understand that mouth is the first body organ or tissue which get exposed to external things, whether it is pathogens, food, hygiene, environment, everything, right? And it is the second largest colonizer of microbes in our body after gut, right? Still, since gut is the largest colonizer, largest colonizer, so essentially, it has been the preferred site to study the functions of the microbiome, right? But now we are finding that the oral microbiome, microbes living in the mouth at various places, right? In our gums, on our tongue, in our teeth, cheeks, everywhere, right? They have a lot to say, not only in case of oral health. So in imbalance in the oral microbiome, oral microbial dysbiosis is said to cause cavities, tooth decay, gum disease, periodontal disease, even oral cancer situations, right? But what we have not realized that, these are linked to systemic health issues. For instance, microbes in our mouth could cause diabetes, arthritis, cardiovascular disease, chronic kidney disease, even gut inflammation, IBD, right? Colon cancer. So there are multiple things. And again, the basic mechanics of it is that, they are site specific. So till the time they are living in your mouth, right? They may be doing good things, right? Do perform beneficial processes. But if they move out of this and move to other tissues or accumulate to other tissues such as brain or heart, right? Or even gut, it could trigger systemic health issues. And how this happens is again inflammation. So if the wrong nutrition choices or wrong hygiene, probably taking too much of mouthwashes, having to using toothpaste which is high in fluoride or a lot of artificial sweeteners or external chemicals like SLS, which is again a detergent, right? Saccharins, aspartame, a lot of these things which could imbalance your oral microbiome, or consuming too much of sugar, right? Not consuming antioxidants and polyphenols, not consuming a lot of herbs which could imbalance your oral microbiome, right? So it could trigger inflammation. It could lead to overactivation of immune response, which could trigger inflammation, right? Over a period of time, this inflammation could cause situations such as leaky gums, right? So if you have bleeding gums, it is a situation of leaky gums, and these microbes could move to other places, for instance, such as brain, your heart and everywhere. And specifically, there are certain microbes what we have found that, certain microbes could move to, could enter the bloodstream, cross the blood-brain barrier, and go to the brain, right? And this could actually lead to production of a lot of harmful metabolites and accumulation of toxin products in the brain, which could cause neuroinflammation, right? So that is one basic of what we call is the bacterial and the metabolites translocation, right? Specifically, Streptococcus mutans, again, Streptococcus mutans, P. gingivalis, all these are microbes from the mouth. It is, they are found, they, until unless they are not expressing a virulence gene or expressing, certain genes which would cause inflammatory activities, right? They are not bad, right? But when they move to other places, they start doing bad things. So Streptococcus mutans, for instance, can induce cerebral hemorrhage, which could actually damage your endothelial cells of cerebral vessels, right? Which could cause inflammation. Or P. gingivalis, when it moves to the bloodstream and it goes to the brain in the central nervous system, right? It could produce a neurotoxic protease called gingipain. Again, gingipain can disrupt, amyloid precursor protein processing, or it leads to, buildup of amyloid beta plaques, which could cause neuroinflammation, which is one of the key factors. The buildup of amyloid beta plaque is a key factor for dementia, Alzheimer's, right? So oral microbiome is somewhere connected with the onset and progression of Alzheimer's, right? That is one aspect, right, where we talk of translation. Other is neuroinflammation, right? So due to this translation, translocation, a lot of these bacteria and their metabolites move the bloodstream and brain, and this could lead to upregulation of certain, pro-inflammatory cytokines such as IL-16, IL-1, TNF-alpha, a lot of these things, right? And it could trigger neuroinflammation, further disrupt blood-brain barrier, right? And lead to accumulation of toxins, right? So that's how it could trigger the inflammation in the brain, right? An interesting thing, what we have found that, people who have chronic periodontal disease, right, which is a gum disease, right, it is a polymicrobial disease. It is not caused by one bacteria, but multiple bacteria, even expressing virulence genes or, upregulations of virulence factor could lead to, sort of periodontal disease. And this people who have periodontal disease are at a higher risk of, neuroinflammation, neurological, neurodegenerative disorders, right? Specifically, what there's a research which found that, so people who have this chronic periodontitis, right? Chronic periodontal disease, right? Would have a high level of LPS in the brain, lipopolysaccharides. We have discussed in the gut, that is another factor which causes diabetes, and oral LPS is something which is found in the brain, which could lead to overexpression of TLR4, which is again caused neuroinflammation and further disrupt the blood-brain barrier permeability, lead to blood-brain barrier permeability, right? So that's how the gum disease, the things happening in the mouth is connected with the brain health, right? So these are very, very important things from the point of view of, brain health, from the point of view of dementia. Another thing, what a lot of people do not know, right, and it is important to understand. So that's why I'm saying, that's why we at GeneFitness focus both on gut and oral microbiome, right? Because gut and oral share 50% of the microbes, right? So for instance, Faecalibacterium nutritum, which is one of the bacteria which causes IBD and cancer, is a oral microbiome, right? So similarly, oral dysbiosis could trigger gut inflammation, right? And when we sequence our oral, in our oral microbiome solution, in the sequence of oral microbiome, we also tell you your gut inflammation score, right? So it could actually directly impact, the gut-brain axis, which we discussed, right? Due to gut inflammation, gut dysbiosis, and disrupt the gut-brain communication, it leads to production of cortisol, right? Again, cortisol is said to disrupt the oral microbiome function, is said to cause further cause oral microbial dysbiosis. Again, it's a vicious cycle, right? So if your oral dysbiosis, the certain microbes could, through saliva, we swallow 1.5 liter of saliva every day, and a lot of bacteria move to the gut, right? And if they these all a lot of these Faecalibacterium nutritum, gingivalis could move to gut, it could trigger inflammation, could lead to disrupt the blood-brain communication, right? And essentially this gut-brain communication could further trigger activate overactive HPAxis, which could trigger cortisol. Cortisol is said to disrupt the oral microbiome. This is what happens, right? So again, this is all connected, right? And even like I mentioned about the vagus nerve, there's a trigeminal nerve, right? Which facilitates coordination between oral microbes and the brain, right? So there are multiple things, multiple pathways which connect oral microbiome with a lot of brain functionalities, neuroinflammation, production of neurotoxins, protease, right? And even Parkinson's, right? So when we talk of Parkinson, it is actually your motor dysfunction and loss of dopamine producing neurons, right? So you have tremors and a lot of these things. So it has been found that a lot of these Streptococcus mutans, P. gingivalis, right? These all start doing inflammation in the brain that activate certain immune cells like microglia, and infiltration of certain immune cells like TH1, which causes these tremors and. So probably we'll discuss about Parkinson on 11th in detail, right? But so it is not only about the gut microbiome, it is also about the microbes in the mouth, which could cause inflammation in the brain, right? Which could trigger stress, which could trigger depression, which could be a reason for dementia, right? Which could lead to a lot of accumulation of toxic products inside the brain, right? So Again, it is not about only the communication between CNS and ENS, which is again the first brain, second brain, because gut is called the second brain, and you know there has been a communication between gut and brain, right? But or the communication oral and oral brain axis through what we call is OMBA, oral microvillous brain axis, right? So this communication have an impact on our brain health, on our mental health, yeah.
I think that's pretty, there are a lot of insights that over the time that you have given, and it always makes us realize that our choices, our lifestyle choices, our nutrition, and especially whenever you mention about in terms of oral microbiome, about the toothpaste and the mouthwash and the saccharins that are actually used. So it makes me wonder that actually, are there actually any products which can help people, from disruption of oral microbiome? Because a lot of us, I mean, a lot of people, they don't know how to, read the ingredients of toothpaste and how to actually identify the right product for them. So what will be your suggestion to these people?
So I think I've done a video on the mouthwash, but I'll just give you a brief, right? So there are certain things called sodium lauryl sulfate, which is a detergent, right? It is put in the toothpaste so that you have this foamy thing happening inside the mouth. Then there are saccharins and aspartame, right? And a lot of these harmful chemicals, right, which disrupt your oral microbiome, right? That is one thing, right? So again, mouthwashes is do the same thing to your mouth which antibiotics does to your gut, right? So mouthwashes cleans your 99% of the bacteria. Mouthwash disrupts your nitric oxide production by nitrate pathway, right? And again, we all know that nitric oxide is play a key role in insulin signaling. It's a vasodilator. It helps in the blood pressure level, right? It helps in the blood flow, oxygen uptake and delivery. So it is also nitric oxide deficiency also connected with the occurrence of erectile dysfunction, right? So it's all connected to your mouth, right? So taking Viagra for erectile dysfunction, right? It is not going to help, because ultimately you need to there is a messenger called cyclic GMP which actually ensures the blood flow. For this, the Viagra needs nitric oxide to do that, right? So essentially, all these men's sexual health products are not going to help in terms of erectile dysfunction, right? If your nitric oxide production is diminished, or there's a deficiency of nitric oxide production, or that pathway is not activated, right? Or there's a lot of oxidative stress or inflammation going on, right? So it's not only about, so obviously you need to brush twice, right? You need to floss, right? You need to clean the leftover things, food in your mouth, right? That has to be clean, because that could be degraded and cause a lot of harm and trouble. And plus the nutrition choices, right? Nobody looks at the oral microbiome, right? So people who are pre-diabetic, right? Do their CGMs tell what is your nitric oxide production, or do they really tell do they incorporate the role of hydroxyapatite, which is a form of calcium which should be there in your toothpaste, which is not there, right? So your toothpaste is overloaded with fluoride and SLS and a lot of these things, right? Even mouthwashes. So all these have an impact on your metabolic health, right? So also understanding the nutrition choices for your oral microbiome, which is again, what we do is a entirely data-driven at GeneFitletics, right? So there's no room of any human intervention. There's no room of any nutritionist or coach or trainer or any fad diet. So it's all based on your biology, all based on your biochemical activities performed by your oral microbiome, right? Which again determines what specific food, what specific nutrients, what polyphenols, what herbs, what proteins, what carbs, what fats, right? What specific molecules, substrates, resveratrol, what prebiotics, probiotics, and what vitamins and minerals your body needs, right? So again, this is really, really essential to understand, right? It is the lot of your mouth is itself connected with everything inside the body. And even since gut and oral share 50% of the microbes, right? So the oral microbiome is really, really important. And also, just before we close the talk, right, it is important to understand that just sequencing your DNA of your microbe and knowing which microbe is there, right, it is not going to help, because your tissues, your heart, your brain does not have eyes. They respond to biochemical signals. So you need to understand the biochemical activities performed by various microbiome, right? And again, see, they are 30,000 plus food molecules. There are every microbe is performing more than 3,000 plus of biochemical functions. There are 100,000 genes being expressed. There are 40 trillion microbes. There are multiple data sets which no one can actually decode, right? So essentially, you really need to, and now we have technology to actually decode, analyze those functions, and convert into nutrition interventions which could regulate your oral biology, right? Even including your brain health, your metabolic health, your cardiovascular health, your gut health, right?
Yes, Sushant, that's completely correct. And I agree with everything that you just said, because about nutrition, it is extremely vital for us to, optimize nutrition as per the biology of an individual, right? Which is actually going to be the way forward. Otherwise, during these times when there's a lot of food adulteration and chemicals are added to the food, like we discussed in our previous talk. So I don't think the human survival, we will not be able to go beyond 60 in any case. That is our lifespans, our health span.
We can go, but thing is, we have to resort to medicines, right? We have
But
to.
that is not life. You're popping up pills, like four or five pills every day, twice a day, and that's horrible,
See,
to us.
I have seen the difference, because when we went to Delhi and compare that with the population in Himachal, right? People in Himachal, they are 10 times more healthier than those in Delhi, right? Although people here also the lot of these corporatization of food is happening, but still people who live in suburb towns and in small low-lying areas like we do, right? So essentially here, our microbiome is much, much more diverse and much better than those in Delhi, right? Or other metro places, right? Because we are killing our microbiome by consuming, every coffee you consume, in a coffee shop is laden with sugar, right? And the first thing what happens is when you eat sugar is it actually makes your oral pH more acidic. And when it is acidic, it becomes a breeding ground for a lot of pathogens inside the mouth, right? They start bringing inflammation, and you will have tooth decay, you will have gum disease, you will have periodontal disease, and all this again is long linked to diabetes. So people who have gum disease have diabetes, high risk of diabetes, high risk of cardiac disease, high risk of Alzheimer's, high risk of brain health, stress, anxiety, depression, right? We all know that, right? And knowing you're consuming, even if you any package healthy snacks which you bought, right? It has other it has sugar, it has artificial sweetener, it has these refined oils, like refined cotton seed oil and
Palm
all
oil.
these
Palm oil is
palm
very popular these days. And they
oil.
are also using this rice bran oil. I don't really know what exactly it means, that what is rice bran. My understanding says it's something to do with rice husk or something like that.
So
But
simple thing is, simple first thing is, in terms of the first step, which should you should clear your pantry of all these packaged stuff which have this sugar, added sugar, these refined oils, artificial sweeteners, right? These all are not required. So you may think, okay, fine, I'm consuming it, but it first interacts with microbes in your mouth, right? And as I told you, that microbes in the mouth is considered that is thing it is actually a total body health. And imbalancing oral microbiome could cause every single chronic disease, right? Even the low nitric oxide production is linked to even chronic kidney disease. I think we discussed this earlier also, right? So it is really, really important to understand the functions of the oral microbiome, right? So as of now in India, we are the only one focusing on the functions of the microbiome. There are different
I
pathways.
think in Asia Pacific, we are the only one, you ask
Yeah,
me.
the pathways which we have decoded, even we could even cover the role of oral microbiome in colon cancer. Even we are currently undergoing the research where oral microbiome is considered pancreatic cancer, right? we are opening up for our, now we are getting into the situation where we could address people with high risk of cancer or dealing with cancer to balance, rebalance their oral gut microbiome. Right? So that is something we are coming up now very soon, right? So again, these things are really going to help people actually take back control of their health overall, right?
Thank you, Sushant, for such an intuitive discussion and all the points that you have mentioned. They totally make sense to, people who have certain set of problems and then they really don't know what to do, right? Now, for all our listeners, thank you for listening to our talks, and we are available on Spotify, Amazon Music, and Apple Podcast. Thank you.
Thank you.